This is Hearing Voices, the best of public radio from NPR, with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm Larry Massett. Today, Spirit World, Angel on the Line. The poets tell us that angels are extraordinary creatures, really first rate. Here's how Rilke describes them in the Duino Elegies. Cue the strings. Creation's spoiled darlings, a chain of mountains, peaks and ridges, red in the morning light, staircases, thrones, pockets of essence, ecstasy shields, a tumultuous storm of delightful feelings. And so on. Those would be angels. Now, the spirits, that's ghosts, hobgoblins, poltergeists, things that go woo in the night, they're another story. Rilke might have described them this way. Badlands, buses, bifocals, lipstick on a cocktail napkin, hubcaps on a fence, tumbleweed, jiggers of rum. Well, you get the picture. The spirits may or may not know the lucky numbers, and they may or may not tell you. But you can't trust them. They cheat. They have bad habits. They like to make prank phone calls.
Now, here's the thing, now. I deal in mysticism. I'm the Maharishi Ottar, born under the sign of Aquarius, Egyptus of the Nile. I bring back dead people. Is there anybody dead that you would like to bring back?
Uh-uh.
Anybody at all?
No. I had told Mr. Cook just now that I had wanted to talk to him about it.
No. What I do is I usually meet with about five or six people. We go into a dark room and put our hands on the table. Say the Lord's Prayer and we bring back the spirits. Is there anybody dead you would like to have back?
Mm-mm. I'm scared of spirits.
I can't hear you.
I say I'm scared of spirits.
Now, it's nothing to be scared of. The Lord sanctions spirits. It's a friendly seance.
Mm-mm. Spirits is the devil work.
What?
Spirits is the devil work because thus you come and thus you go.
No.
After you're dead, you know nothing, you hear nothing, nor you see nothing.
No. Have you ever seen a spirit?
No.
You want to?
No.
What?
No.
Why?
I just don't want to see none. I have no reason to want to see
Madam,
them.
Can I come over to your house tonight?
No.
I want to come over and talk to you and bring a spirit along with me.
Well, you leave that spirit where it at and you stay where you at.
But it's not a mean spirit.
I don't want no kind of spirit.
I won't charge you a cent.
I don't want to see no spirit. I don't want to be bothered with no spirit. I don't want no spirit around me. I see a spirit, I wouldn't be able to sleep for months.
Do you believe in spirits?
Nope. Let me tell you, I believe...
I'll bring it over and show him
to
you.
I don't want to see him.
I'm coming tonight.
You ain't coming to my house tonight.
You don't want to see the spirit?
No, I don't want to see no spirit.
Sister, there's nothing to get frightened of.
I don't want to see no spirit.
Why?
Because I said I don't want to see no spirit. And you see, first place, Alice lied to you. She really did. If she told you that,
Alice belongs to the occult.
What is that?
Alice is one of our members of the spirits.
Alice is a spirit?
She is a member of our spirit group. In other words, Alice can bring the spirits back.
What you mean, she can bring the spirit back where?
She can bring them back from the dead.
Oh, she can?
Mm-hmm. I'll have her come over with me tonight, too.
You are not coming to my house, and Alice is an evil.
Oh, do you like Alice or what?
I have nothing against Alice. She is a very, very sweet person. She is a good neighbor. It is nothing in the world. I don't believe
Well, we'll be over about 7:30, 8, as soon as it gets dark.
Well, I bet you won't come in my house.
Well, you don't like Alice or what is it?
I love Alice.
You don't trust us?
I don't trust a spirit.
Are you afraid?
I am.
You're not afraid?
I am afraid.
No, you aren't.
Yes, I am. You don't tell me what I am. I'm not.
Do you love Jesus?
I know I love Jesus. And
well, then you're not afraid.
I know Jesus don't do crazy work like that. I know it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I know God
Sister,
knows.
This is religious worship.
We're no devil people. I can't have that.
I'm very religious. I'm a preacher.
Look, I'm not going to say that because I don't know you. I don't know what you are. You understand what I mean?
Will you pray with me?
Just like I say, I don't know Alice that well. She's a neighbor of mine.
Alice is a spirit.
Anything. Well, we all are spirits once we die.
Will you pray with me?
When?
Now.
Pray. Go ahead and pray.
Repeat after me. Oh, Lord. Say a prayer with me. I want to put a hex on you. Oh, Lord. Say it with me. Is Alice over there? Tell her to come talk to me.
I'll go see if she's home.
No. Who's this? What is your name? Give me your name and everything. Tonight the spirit shall come to your house.
You ain't getting my
I am coming over.
Well, you insist on coming on somewhere where you're not welcome.
I'm welcome in your house. You just don't know I am. I bring with me the love of the spirits. They want to contact you.
No spirit want to contact me.
Why do you say this?
Because I'm afraid of spirits.
You are not afraid. You are not afraid. You are not afraid.
Don't repeat it a third
time.
You are
not afraid. Why not?
Because I ask you not.
Are you superstitious about three?
Well, kind of look kind of...
Three.
13.
Say
6. I can't say it.
Say what?
None of it.
None of what?
What you said.
Oh, you mean 13?
I guess so.
We'll try to say 13.
I can't.
Can't what?
Can't say it.
What's it?
I tell you what, you call me when my husband come back and tell him that.
Is he going to be home tonight?
Yep.
I'll be over there.
And baby.
And we're going to have a seance.
And if you be over here when he come, oh, but I know a trick to the trade.
What's he going to do?
Come
Is
and
he
see.
A spirit?
Huh?
Is he a spirit?
Come and see.
I'll be over tonight at 8. Have some flowers ready.
So what?
Flowers.
What kind of flowers?
Rose pine needle wish wash.
Well, honey, I'll tell you.
Order them from the florist shop and have them waiting at the seance table.
I have no idea who made that recording. I got it years ago from the poet Andre Codrescu, who thinks he got it from somebody at a party somewhere. We've never been able to track it down. In a minute, we'll hear another phone call. First, writer Carmen Delzell tells us about her experiment in magic.
I first learned about ritual magic years ago when I was living in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, trying hard to be pure, healthy, politically correct, and unfettered by a materialistic society that had rejected me and my children long before we'd gotten around to rejecting it. What appealed to me about these women's spirit practices was the use of everyday objects such as cook pots, scarves, even the shoes of the one you loved, mixed with stones, water, the soil of your birthplace, and the flight patterns of migrating birds. In Santeria and Voodoo, you invoke the spirits of favorite departed relatives, are constantly aware that what goes around comes around, and use signs and symbols as a way of making choices when you fear you have no choices left at all. In Santeria and Voodoo, a woman must be independent and willful. Those qualities are what goddesses are made of. So I drove to Washington and found a Santera and a Botanica above an auto parts store. She wore an old white nurse's uniform and white nurse shoes and stockings, and her head had been shaved for initiation. She said that my mother's restless spirit was jealous and needed to be put to rest before my luck would change, and she recommended a spirit bath. She gave me a strange list of things to buy: a bottle of Chinese floor wash, 4 7-day candles, red, white, blue, and green, a box of baños sangrados, which means spirit bath, white flowers, jinx remover powder, and Indian money draw soap. I drove back to the country $20 poorer and kind of depressed that I could have been so vulnerable. That was on a Saturday. On Sunday, I poured the bottle of Chinese floor wash into a bucket of fresh pump water and scrubbed all the floors in the house with it. This was to clear out evil spirits. Then, when the children went to sleep, I began the ritual of the spirit bath. I placed the candles around the galvanized tin tub that we use for everything, filled it with kettles of hot water, and poured in the first bottle of red liquid from the box I bought. Just before I got into the tub, I arranged the white roses in front of my dead mother's picture. This was to ensure her blessing and ask her to intervene in my behalf. As soon as I got in the water, I got this weird tingly feeling. The shadows from the candles loomed around me like ghosts, and the water looked like blood. I sat there naked and shivering by the wood stove and prayed out loud for God to send me things that I associated with red. I asked for sex, adventure, and central heat. I also asked for red cowboy boots and a ruby ring. On Monday morning, I drove to Culpeper and found the cowboy boots for $2 at the Pink Lady shop, and the ring in a jar of buttons, which they let me have for 25 cents. That night, the awful man from the flea market drove out to see me and spent the night. I realized my next wishes would have to be much more specific. Tuesday evening, I repeated the ritual, except that the water turned blue. I found that a harder color to match with things I needed, so I just asked for general good fortune. Nothing special happened Wednesday, but nothing went wrong either. Well, it went on like that for the next 14 days. My luck began to turn. I found better clothes in the thrift shop than I ever had found before and made over $100 at the flea market. My landlord began to smile and wave at me when I drove past his house, and letters with small checks arrived at the post office. But I guess I have to get to the unbelievable part, and here's what it is. A handsome young millionaire came up to me on the last day of the baths and offered me free rent in a sunny slum apartment and $10,000 to start my own business. Sounds like a lie, doesn't it? I know it does, but it's true. Soon after we moved there, he fell in love with me, and we all lived together that winter, sleeping on mattresses on the floor and eating Chinese food out of cardboard containers. That was one of the happiest times in my life, though I missed certain things about living alone in the country. The dark side of the magic hadn't revealed itself yet, so we blithely enjoyed our warm rooms, and I thanked Jesus every night for his blessing.
You're peering into the spirit world, angels on the line, from Hearing Voices. Now back to our mystery phone preacher. Some folks think he's a demented performance artist. Others think he's just flat-out demented. Could be. You might notice near the end of this call that the voices seem to be getting faster and higher. That's what happens when a cassette recorder runs low on batteries, unless there's some other explanation.
Hello, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak louder?
Yeah, I'll speak a little louder.
Let us pray together. Are you sick?
Yeah, I'm sick.
What seems to be the problem?
I had a stroke about 4 or 5 years ago, and I got high blood.
God bless you. God love you.
God bless you. God love you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Repeat after me. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
In Clytemnestra's daughter.
In Clytemnestra's daughter.
Take me and heal me.
Take me and heal me.
Roll me.
Roll me.
Beat me.
Beat me.
Slap me.
Slap me.
Let me be like a mouse.
Let me be like a mouse.
Inside a mouse trap.
Inside a mouse trap.
Feed me.
Feed me.
Bread.
Bread.
Wine.
Wine.
Hamsters.
Hamsters.
Rats.
Rats.
Bullfrogs.
Bulldogs.
African Eurasian tiger pussycats.
Tiger for ages and tiger pussycats.
And love me, O Father.
And love me, O Father.
And pull the cotton from my earlobes.
And pull the cotton from my earlobes.
Louder, please.
And pull the cotton
Lord,
from my... Oh, Lord.
Take my soul.
Take my soul.
And put me over a barrel.
And put me over a barrel.
And pull my pants down.
And pull my pants down.
And slap me.
And slap me.
With the punishing rod.
With the punishing rod.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Louder, please. Louder.
Forgive me for my sins.
And take me to heaven.
And take me to heaven.
On a muskrat.
On a muskrat.
Let the adversity of my heart.
The adversity of my heart.
Stretch up.
Stretch up.
To the high wire.
Stretch up to the high wire.
And let me ride the bicycle.
Let me ride the bicycle.
Across Lake Charles.
Across Lake Charles.
Slap me.
Slap me.
Louder.
Loud. Slap me.
Make me.
Make me.
A divine procrastinator.
Procrastinator.
Louder, please. I can hardly hear you.
Procrastinator.
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 Take my conglomeration hold.
Take my conglomeration hold.
And re-circumcise my soul.
And circumcise my soul.
So that I will love thee.
So that I would love thee.
And worthily reperpetrate.
Worthily perpetrate.
Reperpetrate.
Perpetrate.
Reperpetrate.
Reperpetrate.
My soul.
My soul.
With shotgun blasts.
Shotgun blasts.
Let us sing a song together. What song do you know? On the cross, the old rugged cross?
Yeah, I know a little of that.
Sing it, brother, right now.
On the cross, at the cross, where I praise all the light.
Louder, brother. Amen.
When I praise.
Put your mouth closer to the phone. Amen.
Light.
Keep going. Amen.
Then the burden of my soul washed away.
Louder, pick it up now. Build it to something great.
It was there by grace, Christ,
now,
I received the sight.
Hallelujah.
And now I am happy all the day.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you.
God love you.
Okay.
Let us say a prayer. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Loud now.
Oh, Lord.
Love me, Father.
Love me, Father.
Personify me in...
Personify me in...
The bullfrog.
The bullfrog.
Take me.
Take me.
By the foot.
By the foot.
Louder, please.
By the foot.
And drag me into the woods.
And drag me into the woods.
Dig a hole.
Dig a hole.
And let the leaves fall on top of my body.
And let the leaves fall on top of my body.
Hit me.
Hit me.
Slap me. Beat me.
Beat me.
Like a persimmon tree.
Like a persimmon tree.
And reincarnate me.
Reincarnate.
In the form. Of
a
hamster. Love me, Father.
Love me, Father.
Beat me louder, please.
Love me, Father.
Love me like you do.
Love me like you do.
The little roach.
The little roach.
Louder. Louder.
The little roach. The little roach.
Take me.
Take me.
By.
By.
The jockstrap.
Jockstrap.
And thrash me.
And thrash.
But love me.
But love me.
Throw away my brassiere.
Throw away my brassiere.
And let me face thee.
And let me face thee.
Towards the holy city.
Towards the holy city.
Of Medina near the Tesh, near the Thames, at the right end of the north corner.
Of Medina near the Thames, at the right hand of the right corner.
And refurbish my memory so that I may go blank at any moment.
And refurbish my memory so that I may go blank at any moment.
And take my soul and take me to heaven, run around the cross, and I will sit in the chair and grab you by the doorknob.
Take me up to heaven now.
Louder, please.
Take me up to heaven and I'll sit in the chair and grab you like by the doorknob.
Let me love.
Let me love.
Grab my wife.
Grab my wife.
And get her.
Get her.
Get her.
Get her.
Hard.
Get her.
Let me love her.
Let me love her.
And cherish her.
And cherish her.
And pour wine.
And pour wine.
Into her hair.
Into her hair.
Let me pierce her.
Let me pierce her.
With my finger.
With my finger.
In.
In.
Her.
Her.
Big.
Big.
Nose.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Repeat after me. Asakapako.
Asitapako.
As loud as you can, brother.
Asikapako.
Uchkalakataka.
Kaskushakalakala.
Itsuko ochiki.
Akuchika chiki.
Peyo tabi.
Kwati.
Uko? Loud, brother.
I got to go to the restroom right now.
Loud, brother. We're almost finished. Alakatakotobo. Is that as loud as you can talk?
Akamalakalo.
Uchakaka.
Uchakaka.
Alakiwalabuda.
Alakiwalakolo.
Uchunukarakatakolakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatakatak
like three, alaka luto karapesisi ando la porrit al antecreto. Loud, brother.
Loud.
No, quick. Ala chikala pugo na ba?
Ala
kala puto ka na ba?
Ala
chikala puto ka ba? Ala kala chikala.
Oh Lord,
take me.
Empty the ashtray.
On my head.
And let me swim.
In the sacred waters
of the Calcasieu
River.
Forever.
Brother, do you love me?
Oh yeah.
Say I love you.
I love you.
Loud.
I love you.
Loud.
I love you.
Is that as loud as you can talk?
I can't talk no loud.
Talk loud, brother.
I love you.
Mean it.
That's right.
Loud.
I love you.
Holler it.
I love you.
Put your mouth close to the receiver and holler it.
I I love you.
5 times.
I love you, 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 I love you.
That was just 4. Give me 8 this time.
Huh?
8 times.
Say what?
That was just 4. As punishment, you have to say it 8 times.
Say it 8 times.
8 times.
I love you. 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 I love you.
Amen.
I love you.
Loud.
I love you.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
You ain't through yet?
Brother, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Snap the button.
Snap the button.
On my underwear.
On my underwear.
And let my armpit.
And let my armpit.
Fall upon.
Fall upon.
The crawfish.
The crawfish.
On the ground.
Coming up, we spend a night on Mount Shasta.
I am desirous of my presence being known as love.
A Night on Mount Shasta, in a minute, here in the spirit world, from Hearing Voices.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. From NPR, this is HearingVoices.com.
Welcome back to the spirit world. This is Hearing Voices. Spirits aren't fussy about what they eat. They live on rum, incense, candle stubs. But they do care where they live. Producer Seal Muller visited a little town in central Florida, Casadega. It's sort of a spiritualist summer camp, a tourist attraction. You can drop by any time, have your palm read, talk to the dead, and so on. The night she visited was bingo night.
I'm Reverend Ben Cox. I'm one of the mediums here in camp. And I'm a reverend. I'm an ordained person. I'm a medium. Are we all ordinary? Yes, we are all ordinary people who sometimes do some extraordinary things. And every house here has some sort of phenomena associated with it. Either a spirit, or the spirit's leaving dimes laying around, like in the big house around the corner, or we smell pipe tobacco on the stairs. You know, there's all kinds of manifestations of spirits around here, everywhere. This seems to be a place where they gather. And we think it's because of the vibrations and so forth. We also know that there's an energy vortex around the pond, which is in back of the church. My mother was diabetic, and bless her, she's with me all the time. She passed in 1970, and she's my principal guide. In fact, she's probably with me right now. But she would go into these diabetic reactions, and I knew when she was in one before she did.
Oh, 74. G, 56. That's a good card. Single winner, $100. Congratulations.
Does being a psychic help you in bingo at all?
No.
Sorry, it doesn't help. If it did, I'd have won the lottery already.
G57.
Meditation helps a lot, because meditation is really the key to all of this. And learning how to focus your own attention and learning how the spirit world works. And as long as you're working in natural law, it just goes right along with you. It just keeps working out. It's like you project the future ahead of you, and then you walk into it.
B11.
Now, Casadega is a tiny place, but the spirits also like big places, like mountains.
Of my presence be known as love. Love within your heart. I come not to bring preaching upon this plane, for there has been preaching enough. Preaching is words. Words alone do not touch your heart. It is love. It is love that I bring. I am Archangel Michael.
All I wanted was a cup of coffee. I was coming up I-5 from the Sacramento Valley towards Oregon, and Shasta, Mount Shasta, the little town on the flank of the mountain, looked like it would have a lot of coffee shops. They turned out crowded, which seemed peculiar for a Saturday afternoon, and I was about to leave again when I met the woman who channels the Archangel Michael. She could also channel Merlin the Magician, an extraterrestrial named Omeron, or Umaron, the Count Saint Germain, some other well-meaning spirits, hard to take if you haven't had your morning coffee yet. Then I heard that an even better angel had just come into town and taken over somebody's television set in a house on Avenue B. I ran right over. It was a small house. There must have been 50 people crammed around the living room. The front door was completely blocked. I had to crawl through the window to get in. I think the woman calling out the window was the owner of the house.
I think it's a transmission from someplace. It seems to be more a message than anything else, but this is just the physical manifestation of it that you're seeing on the TV. And it looks like an angel, and I think that's just a common symbol that everyone can relate to. So it's come on the TV, which is something that everyone can relate to, and as an angel.
This is the kind of thing you'd see in the National Enquirer and say, oh yeah, ha-ha. And we came in with that attitude yesterday, but the minute I stepped into this room and looked at the screen, I knew that I was wrong. There's just no denying what's on that screen. I can only tell you that the energy that I feel emanating from that screen is what did it for me. The mass populace isn't ready to accept an angel in bodily form, because we're just not willing to accept that, and it'd be too frightening. But to me, it's a very clear
profound experience. You know, I came in here yesterday with an attitude, kind of joking about it, and I came in here, and immediately I felt a heart opening type experience, and ever since then I felt it coming through my heart all the way through my arms, and I felt that energy just flowing out through me. I was crying a lot yesterday. It was a beautiful Just total love connection.
On the screen was a hazy, flickering, but elaborate image of a spaceship, maybe, or an artist's rendering of a virus, or a human heart with ectoplasmic tendrils flickering out from the center. If you got up close to it, it made a heck of a noise. I thought it would be a good idea to take a walk through the center of town. I kept asking people if angels were getting to be a problem. They said no, but we do get a lot of mysterious happenings here in town, especially up on the mountain.
I live up on the mountain.
How did you happen to settle there?
Well, when I was 13, I was living in Ohio, and I had a dream where I was taken by a spaceship into the mountain. And the last thing they told me was, one day you'll be here.
When you first saw it, did it look or did it feel like the
Mount Shasta itself?
Spot that you
It's just my first time up there. For 4 hours, I sat up on top. We have a rocky knoll on the land, and I sat up there listening to the angelic chorus coming from the mountain. It was just incredible. It was a thought form that was set up ages ago, and we're in that moment now of where the Earth is getting ready to go into the fourth dimension from the third dimension. Most people that come to Shasta have a hard time staying here because of the energy. It's real intense here. Most people can't even stay in town.
This is a good place to confront oneself. It's a small town. The mountain is there. The mountain has a presence. There's no mistaking that. And when something stands up and says, I am this marvelous presence, I have a tendency to try to find out what that energy is. So I hike on the mountain and I camp on the mountain. I live on the mountain as much as I can. I ski on the mountain.
What's happened to you? I mean, since you've been here, do you feel like you've changed?
Oh, yeah. There's a soft, gentle me that's come out that I wasn't too aware of before. And it's where the unlimited love lives. I'm a California boy.
Yeah. The quiet, the settling, the peace, the tranquility, the immediacy, the intimacy of the energy and the directness, the timelessness. You know, nature historically, and mountains and streams historically have been that tranquil place where you see large perspectives. And I haven't gotten into a lot of the stuff, but a lot of stuff is that people will see UFOs, extraterrestrial talk is very common up here. Channeling is very common. People act as human channels for spirits, other people. There's a lot of metaphysical groups, there's massage, there's crystals. Mount Shasta is considered a
starved, sacred place. Starved emotionally, spiritually, because all their roots have been taken out from under them. And they're given shopping malls and freeways, and it's just so far away from the true balance that it's going to pin up frustration, and it'll have to release somewhere. It's like a volcano.
This is one of your crazier towns. This is always drawn in the crazier eccentrics. I mean, not a lot, but there's more than normal here. There's a lot of eccentrics here.
Do you think it's due to the mountain?
Yeah, sure.
I wanted to get on the mountain while there was still daylight, so I grabbed my sleeping bag, two boxes of raisins, some iodine tablets to take care of the water, and headed up the road. Shasta is a big volcano, over 14,000 feet. But there's a two-lane switchback paved up to 8,000 feet or so. At the end of the road, just off the parking lot, was a circle of women who seemed to be dressed as an experimental minority group, sort of feminist Navajo punk rock look. Time to time, they shouted things like, "Down with the patriarchy, stop the Armageddon tape." One of the women warned me about the flying saucer people further up the mountain. "They're trying to attract a spaceship," she said. "They want to go to heaven. And you know what's going to happen? The spaceship lands,
the people get in. They're taken straight to hell. The point is, she said, this is heaven. This is paradise. Here. We screwed it up. So I walked on, over the ridge, down a hill, through a plain of volcanic rubble, under the lip of a red butte, up a cliff, down through a forest, and out into a big meadow just south of the peak. Somebody had built a sweat lodge here, using plastic bags, and one of the cold streams that ran across the meadow was dammed up to make a pool. Tending the fire was a nice, naked lady with unusual tattoos.
Generally speaking, the first round is for the rock people, and the second round is for the four-footeds and winged peoples, and the third round is for the two-leggeds. I have to say that my very favorite part of taking a sweat, though, is after doing the three rounds and dunking in the cold water each time afterwards, the third dunk in the cold water, and then I lie upon the ground and just lie flat on the earth naked, and the earth just sort of draws. And it's like you can feel your body and the earth just sort of becoming one unit and one thing. We are here. The Indians say, the Native Americans say, that we are borrowing this earth from our children. We don't inherit it. We simply borrow it from the next generation. There seems to be a race on to turn all the earth's resources into dollars, which is going to be a very drastic situation in 50 years when our children and grandchildren want something to eat and they find that everything's been converted to gold and dollar bills, which is totally inedible. By the end of the century, if nations do not stop the environmental ravage and damage that is currently in process, by the end of this century, we will not have life as we know it on this planet.
I thought she was going to ask me to sign up for a tree spiking mission, or at least write my congressman. But she said we each had to follow our own light. She was trying to help out by living alone in the woods without electricity or running water.
We all have within us, I feel, each and every one of us have within ourselves all the knowledge that has ever been known. I really believe this. When you kill a broccoli or when you kill a cow, you know, to eat, because killing things to eat is part of the nature of our bodies that we are currently living in. But whatever you do, do it with that feeling of spirit. The spirit, the one, the Godhead, the DNA, the life force, the whatever, you know.
As I walked around the meadow, talking with people who were meditating, massaging each other, doing their Tai Chi exercises, I learned a bit more about Mount Shasta itself. I heard it was the last remnant of the lost continent of Mu. I heard it was hollow, that a door hidden in the side led to an underground passageway through which you could walk to Mexico in only a year. When I pointed out you could get from Shasta to Mexico on top of the ground a lot faster, people looked unhappy, and I began to feel lost. I began to notice how often people began their sentences with the phrase, "for me." I began to think of that phrase as the universal prepositional solvent, making conflict impossible, dissolving external reality.
Hey, man, you know, at some point you got to realize that not just the desperation in the people, but the desperation in the whole planet is something that's real right now. And you have to shift into a new way of living. I don't know what that new way of living really looks like. I know what it feels like. To me, it's about healing. To me, it's about coming to a place inside myself where I feel a lot of love for that mountain and for that grass and for all these people here. I guess it all, you know, it started for me a couple years ago when I was just doing my thing, you know, bopping along. And what I was doing, what was my thing actually, was this, I was doing a lot of bicycle racing and I was building bikes and I was like, I was pretty into it, you know, being a real athlete, doing a lot of racing. And just real suddenly, really, it took a few weeks, but pretty suddenly, my knees just said, we're not going to do this anymore. Every time you get on your bike, and you come back, and your knees are just hurting like crazy. So I go to the orthopedic surgeon, and he doesn't know. I eventually ended up going to a knee specialist who was supposed to be this hot guy, and he did this exploratory surgery and everything, you know. I was, like, really desperate to find something because that was my whole life. And none of them were able to help me, you know, none of them. So I just gave up for a while, and then this guy that I knew said, well, listen, you know, you really got to do something about this. Let me have you go to a chiropractor, and I started going to him, and that kind of led on to some other things. I mean, he helped me a lot. He really helped me a lot and sort of turned me on to fasting and getting my body cleaned out, and I just have moved on to a lot of other methods of healing and systems of healing. I mean, I went through herbs and all the vitamins and minerals and dietary stuff and flower essences and people call this stuff, God, that's quack stuff, man, that's but it's not, you know, it really works. And that's happened to me over about the last 2 years.
And how are your knees?
Or 3 years. My knees, they're pretty good. You know, I mean, I hiked in here last night, and I hiked up to there, and I hiked up on top of that ridge this morning and sat there for a while, and, you know, so yeah. They're doing pretty good.
As it got dark, people moved back into the woods and built fires. I found the campfire of the Flying Saucer people, but I was afraid to talk to them. I hid behind a tree and watched them chanting. The firelight made them look tall and serene. The spirit was coming for them. This was their time. I was afraid to talk to them because I had met people in touch with extraterrestrials before, and they turned out to be paranoid schizophrenics, either the people or the extraterrestrials. Whenever you look at the sky for a long time in a clear place at night, you realize there are a lot more stars than you remember, and a lot of satellites, and a lot of shooting stars. It's amazing how many shooting stars, one after the other. There are so many flying saucers, you lose count and fall asleep. At dawn, I discovered the aliens had landed on Shasta during the night and had stolen my iodine tablets, which meant I couldn't drink the water on the mountain anymore unless the aliens had killed off the Giardia. But if they'd done that, why would they bother to steal my iodine tablets? So I decided to head back. People were blowing conch shells all along the tops of the ridges. One of the conch players turned out to be a doctor from the Public Health Service down in the Sacramento Valley.
There is no cure for this disease as far as anyone can envision our medical technology taking us into the future. The homosexual population only differs biologically from us in the number of sexual events, basically. That's why they saw it first. They're not heroes, they're not villains. They're only trip flares on the perimeter. Poom, 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 poom. The disease is here. Behavior modification, that's what they're saying is the answer. Behavior modification can only decrease the frequency of your coming in contact with a person with that disease. When you reduce the frequency of an act, You only slow the rate of infection. You don't alter the ultimate number of people exposed. Do you see the point? So there is no way we can avoid exposure to this if we attempt to continue on as a species. Someday the condoms have to come off. You have to do that act eventually. And when you do, the virus is going to be there. It may not be this generation, but it's there for the next, and it's there for the next, and it's there for the next. It is killing people at a rate that we have never seen before. This disease has already killed more people than the plague ever killed. We're going to see, in our lifetimes, Africa, Central Africa, die. And we're going to see South America die. They're going to die. We're going to sit back and watch it. There's nothing that can be done to save those people. Nature is ruthless. You come on top of this mountain without water, and you try to stay here any length of time, you'll die. Nature will tell you that you don't do that, because it is ruthless.
The only hope, he said, was to turn this country into an island fortress, barricaded against the virus. Plus, we'd have to quarantine people whether they liked it or not. And even this wouldn't do any good unless we started right away. And after that, it would be time to move to New Zealand. He promised to drop me a postcard when the time came.
There are so many questions. That's what keeps me going, and that's what brought me to this mountain. The primitive tribes held this mountain sacred. For some reason, this place has some magical or metaphysical significance in the space-time continuum that we can't understand.
All of a sudden, I found I was staring across the mountain, across the plains of volcanic rubble, and down at the thousands of acres of forest and lakes, with only a few small towns here and there. I found I was thinking, land must be cheap here. I was thinking, I bet you could make a fortune buying this up and turning it into AIDS-free retirement condos, barbed wire, blood banks, German shepherds. I was horrified by my thoughts. I began to run down the mountain. When I got to town, the cafes weren't so full anymore. I had about 5 cups of coffee and got to talking to the waitress. Yeah, she'd heard about the angel in the TV set. Heard it was caused by a defective capacitor. I told her that ever since I'd gotten to Mount Shasta, I'd met a lot of people I liked and almost nobody I believed. That's because you live in a big city, she said. People who live in cities believe in demons and have a hard time with angels. Here it's the other way around. And that's not so important, she said. It would be nice if we could go around with our eyes open in spite of what we think we know. She told me a couple of days ago she was walking along a creek east of Shasta, and she came across an ordinary guy sitting at the edge of the water. He wasn't doing anything. He didn't say anything. So she sat down too and just looked at this person.
I kept slipping in and out of thinking. I know this sounds really like a total fish, but I kept thinking that this was an angel. Not a person. It was an experience where you meet someone and your eyes feel a little more open. You feel a little more observant and very aware of your environment and the air and the smells. And I still don't even connect this experience to something like love, but more like a relationship with beauty, like an awe. Love is too personal. This is more impersonal. His eyes were these enormous brown, soft pools of light, and usually it's hard for me. I don't look people in the eye all the time. You know, I move back and forth. But when you're hypnotized, you can't stop looking. You can't even stop looking because you're embarrassed to look. I mean, you're so hypnotized and pulled in. And I never even feel that kind of courage around anyone, so I figured it couldn't be a human being. Because who would allow you to look into their eyes that long, too? I mean, who would allow you to really look into them? I like that expression, be careful lest you drive an angel from your door.
A Night on Mount Shasta was produced by myself, Larry Massett, with Scott Carrier. You've been listening to Hearing Voices. Our website, and something tells me you're planning to visit, our website is hearingvoices.com.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Our producers are Scott Carrier, Ann Hepperman, Larry Massett, and Kara Oler. Our intern is Max Darum. Mix engineer is Robin Wise of soundimagery.com. Executive producer is Barrett Golding. From NPR, National Public Radio, this is hearingvoices.com.